In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Christ is among us. For many years now, as I reflected on the homily always for the stewardship of it's selfless giving, it's sacrificial giving. I always begin with the story, because I think it's most profound, about what true sacrificial giving is. Because you're not donating to the church. It's a gift of sacrifice. And I recall it was years ago when Mother Teresa was alive and she was in Calcutta serving really some of the most detestable people in the world, some of the most unlovable people. And a very wealthy man had come to her to see what kind of work she was doing. And he was extremely moved by her work. And after spending a few days there with her, he pulled out his checkbook and began to write a check. And for a man of his wealth, even though it was something like $10,000, $50,000, as he handed her the check, she pushed it back into his chest and said, "We don't need your money." And he said, Mother, I want to really help out in your work. This is incredible what you're doing. And she looked at him and said, "Then make a sacrificial gift." And he immediately pulled out his checkbook and he gave a very, very generous, generous amount. It was beyond six digits. And that's the meaning of sacrificial giving. It will pinch, it hurts a little bit, and that's the point. It's not by accident that each year we focus on the meaning and purpose of stewardship at this time of the year, October, November, as our de-Christianized society now goes into hyper-consumerism. The DFW Melkite Outreach focuses on the practice of sacrificial giving, also called rightly the act of selfless love. As I've been preaching the last three Sundays, but always bears repeating, stewardship is the realization that everything you have is a gift from Almighty God. Your talent, your time, your body, your money, they are not yours to possess. All of them are gifts that God has given to you to be a steward of them and to give them back selflessly toward the edification of his own body, the body of Christ, the kingdom of heaven on earth. Shared reluctantly or shared miserly is not stewardship. But let's be honest. As I mentioned about three Sundays ago, in our society, as I saw in that comic strip in the New Yorker one time, the dog is not man's best friend. In the American society, money is our best friend. And a baptized person can adopt a false attitude about the church, looking at the church more or less as a dispenser of goods and services. And so I give a token back to the church, or I'm paying because I'm getting something back. All the church needs to pay for the utilities and it needs to pay for the rent, and that's why I'm going to give some money. And that is not the reason why we give sacrificially. That's not what stewardship is all about. Stewardship is a way of life. And I've said it every Sunday now, and hopefully it begins to sink in. Christ is the icon of stewardship. And what did he teach? He told the apostles, and he tells it to you and me as well. Freely you have received, freely you are to give. The old law taught about tithing, and too often Christians use the word tithing. But it's incorrect. tithing meant 10%, and it was following a law, each person in the old law was required, obligated, to give 10% of one's first fruits. Look into the icon of Christ, the icon of true and authentic stewardship. Christ wasn't giving 10%. Christ gave sacrificially, and Christ gave selflessly. Just as one cannot put a price tag on the sacrifice of Jesus of Nazareth, so also one cannot put a number on how generous one ought to be to God and his kingdom. That's the meaning of sacrificial love. Just go back and read the first three chapters of the Acts of the Apostles, and you'll see how seriously committed those first Christians were when it came to living out the commandment of selfless love. They gave up everything to a common pool to support one another. And they didn't do it because it was an obligation. They didn't do it because it was a law. They did it because they were transformed by Christ. And so they were truly living out sacrificial love. They were living out true gratitude. The priest who taught me about Christian stewardship years ago used to preach this to the people. God doesn't need your money. I'm going to even dare say God doesn't even need this money for this outreach. God will accomplish his will with or without us. You and I have the need to give our money. That's the key. God doesn't need your money. He doesn't need your talents. He doesn't need your time. You and I have a need to give our money. You and I have a need to give our time and our talents. What did he mean by those words? Sacrificial giving reminds you and me, every time you do it, when you put it into practice, authentically and truly, it reminds you and me that really, what I have is a gift. You and I are stewards of the money. That money you have is not yours to possess. You have an obligation to give it back to God in whatever way that he thinks or deems, not thinks, but instructs us to give. To give back to God sacrificially puts into practice a certain truth. Nothing you and I have can we call really our own. Job's prayer, Job's statement is our statement. Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will return. In other words, I have nothing in this world. Nothing. You and I live in a very, very affluent, opulent society. We also live in a consumerist society. It's completely antithetical to the Christian way of life. So sacrificial giving is a contradiction in terms. Practicing sacrificial giving will do something very important for you and me. It protects you and me from the draw, from the pull into a selfish mode of living. How many times have we taken that extra cash we have when we just end up buying something? And in our hearts we know, I didn't really need that. I didn't really need to spend that money that way. As you consider, therefore, what you plan to give selflessly, sacrificially, toward the outreach to the kingdom of God and the other works of charity in 2025, just don't write down a random number. This week, sit down as a household and create a chart of your, and categorize how you spend your money on what, the percentages. Line it up, your room and board, how much your house costs, how much you're spending on your business, how much you're spending on your food, your leisure, your traveling. Put the categories together and then include one, how much have you given back to the church? And at the end, look at the percentages. and compare them, and that will tell you what's really important in your life. I think you may be a little shocked sometimes. Perhaps recall the parable of the rich man who had an abundant crop. And what did he do? He went and built larger and bigger barns and silos. Why? To store the excess. That night, however, the Lord demanded his life, and God said to him, quote, "You fool, this night your life is being demanded of you. The things you prepared, whose will they be?" End of quote. God expected that man to share selflessly out of that excess and abundance he had. To use a contemporary example, one that might hit a little bit more at home, consider the amount of money people spend and even go into debt at this time of the year on preparing for Thanksgiving and Christmas. All the shopping, all the traveling, all the decorations that we spend money on. And consider that and compare that to the proportion you spend on giving back to God. What is the model of true selfless giving? Recall that time when Jesus, the Lord, was sitting in the temple area with his disciples. And a whole array of people were coming in and they were dropping money into that poor box. And then came forward a destitute woman, and she put in what was probably equivalent to our society's two pennies. A destitute woman giving two pennies. And the Lord declared to all his disciples at that moment, and they've been recorded for all time in history for us to learn. He said, "Truly, truly, I tell you, that poor widow put in more than all the others." All these other people gave out of their excess, but she, out of her poverty, she put in all her livelihood. That's what our Lord is teaching us today and always, to give out of your livelihood and not out of your excess. That was the lesson Mother Teresa was teaching the wealthy man. Mother Teresa didn't need his money. She was teaching the man what true charity is. It's not making a donation. It's sacrificial giving. Looking toward the year 2025, every household is asked to make a financial pledge to the outreach. You're giving back to God a portion of what he's given to you. So we do it out of gratitude because he's gifted it to you. The six words to think about as you prepare and plan this week on your sacrificial gift for 2025 are these. First, doing it regularly, whether it's weekly, monthly, bi-monthly, or periodically throughout the year, depending on how your financial situation is. Second, doing it generously. For St. Paul warned, quote, "To sow sparingly will be to reap sparingly. To sow bountifully, one will reap bountifully." Third, to give cheerfully. Recalling the words of the Apostle Paul, God loves a cheerful giver. Fourth, to give freely. Recalling the words of Jesus the Christ, "You have freely received, freely give." Fifth, it's not tithing, it's proportional giving. So while the Old Testament demanded 10% of the fruits, the New Testament is to give sacrificially of one's first fruits. This week, again, I'll repeat it. Look at what you have given percentage-wise to the kingdom of God versus to your food budget, to your leisure activities, to your traveling expenses, etc., etc. And see how it compares because that tells you what's really important in your life. Six, to be sacrificial. Bottom line, as the fathers teach us, as the great preachers teach us, if your sacrificial giving isn't hurting or pinching, then you're not giving enough. And as you do consider next year's pledge, look at what you gave this year, and minimally, maybe this is the pinch. Can you give at least 2 or 3% more this year than you gave next year than you gave this year? Bearing in mind the words of the Apostle Paul, quote, each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly, and not under compulsion, for God loves a generous giver.